We sure are happy again today to have you listening to the program, Sermon and Song, and I do hope it will be a blessing to your heart. Tell someone else about it. We'll have a message from God's Word. It will be the third in a message on salvation according to the Bible. Now, I think that you will find this quite interesting for yourself if you're a born-again child of God, and certainly you need to try to get some unsaved person to listen to the broadcast with you or give them a telephone call and encourage them to listen today. I'll review just enough until they'll not be left out if this is the first time they've heard this series of messages, actually four messages on salvation. Now let me begin right quickly at the beginning. The whole Bible is about salvation. The whole Bible is about salvation. The whole Bible is not written primarily to teach us how to live in this earth, though the Bible does teach us how to live. I had two women come to the door and want to come in and teach me the Bible and teach me all about Jehovah. And, of course, I didn't let them in knowing who they were. So I simply asked the question, how can I be saved? I said, yes, I like to study the Bible, and I have some questions. I said, how about answering some questions for me? And they said, all right. And I said, fine. I said, now, how can I be saved? I said, I want to be saved when I die. I don't want to die without God. How can I be saved? And one of them went into a long discourse about how God sent Jesus and how he came and how he was crucified on the cross and how he gave us the Bible that we might know what he required for us, and that if we live like the Bible says and we do the things that the Bible tells us to do, and we follow the instructions according to the Bible, then we'll be saved. And I said, well, then you mean I have to work my way to heaven? And she said, oh, no, no, no. I says, well, you've just said it very plainly, what I have to do. I have to work my way. I have to do what the Bible says do. All of the little odds and ends of the Bible, I have to do them in order for me to go to heaven. And she said, no, no, no. And I said, well, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth, because you are telling me to be saved by works, and the Bible tells me to be saved by grace. And so that's what the whole Bible is about. It's not here just to tell me how to live, though it does. It's not written primarily just to give me a good moral standing or to give me a good basis upon which to write the United States Constitution. That's not the reason the Bible was given. The Bible was given to show how a lost man could come in contact in righteousness with the very presence of a holy God. Now, that's salvation. That's what salvation is. That's being saved from the wrath of God, saved from an eternal hell, saved, which is a good Bible word, and salvation means saved, saved from hell, saved from a life of sin, saved from all kinds of things that are bad and wrong, saved, and then born again into the family of God. That's what it's all about. And so we're just talking in these days about salvation in the Bible. I'm not reading an awful lot of Scripture because I'm talking about the whole Bible, and you'll find it all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. We've talked about the Christ of salvation. There is only one way. There is only one way to be saved, nothing else. That eliminates everything else. If someone comes up with something else, then that's eliminated. Then we talked about the cross of salvation and how that it's the cross that Jesus died on, why it was the cross, or why we believe that it was the cross, and why it was necessary for him to shed his blood as the Lamb of God upon the cross to make a sacrifice for our sins. God required a sacrifice. And the sacrifices in the Old Testament pointed to the coming of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so we spent a great deal of time with that. And the cross was a place of sacrifice. The cross was a place of blood, where Jesus shed his blood to make an atonement for our sins. Now today, I'm going to say something that you might not understand, but don't leave me now. Stay with me, because I think I can explain it so that you can understand it. I'll do my very best to do so. And I thought it quite odd, whenever I was preparing these messages, I thought it quite odd that the Holy Spirit would lay this word upon my heart. I was certainly searching for words that all started with the letter C, the Christ of salvation, the cross of salvation. But why on earth would the Holy Spirit bring to my mind the word curse? The curse of salvation. You say, well, that's a paradox, preacher. Those don't go together. The curse of salvation, that doesn't go together. Well, I think we can tie them together for you with one verse of Scripture. And I want to read that to you. What do I mean when I say the curse of salvation? To those who will receive Christ, they have blessing. To those who will receive Christ and be saved, they have eternal life. To those who will trust Jesus Christ and be saved, they're part of the family of God. They're part of the household of God. They're part of the heavenly household and will be with God forever and forever. And eventually, those of us who are saved during this particular age will be a part of the bride of Christ. We're now a part of the body of Christ that is being built. Sure, it's a wonderful thing. Salvation is wonderful. There is nothing that's any better than that. There's nothing that is more important than salvation. But what is this business about the curse of salvation? Let me call your attention to one verse of Scripture. John chapter 3 and verse 18. Now, we've all quoted and read and heard over and over again, and certainly it's just as precious as it was the first time we heard it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that's not die, spiritually die, but have everlasting life. Now, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What does that verse mean? Well, frankly, in simple terms, it means what it says, that God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. That's not why he came. The world was already condemned. The world was already condemned. Adam sinned against God, and that brought condemnation upon the world. And so Jesus did not come to condemn the world. It was already condemned. But that the world through him might be saved. Now, there's our word. There's the word we've been using quite a bit. And, of course, another one related to it is the word salvation, which is what I believe the Bible is all about. That is, a sinful man being saved from a position of being lost and hopeless without God and brought into the very presence of God. As I expressed on the other program, on the cross, Jesus hung on the cross up above the earth, where the Bible said he would, and he shed his blood to make an atonement for our sins. There on the cross he was able to cover the place where the will of God and the will of man crossed, where man's will said, I will not go God's way. The horizontal bar crossing the direct will of God. And Jesus then covering that spot with his own body and with his own blood. And then he reaches up and takes our hand and reaches up then and takes the hand of God and puts our hand in the hand of God through his death on the cross. Now, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Now, Jesus did not come for the purpose of condemning anybody. They were already condemned. But he that believeth on him is not condemned. In other words, if you are born under condemnation and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, well, preacher, what does it mean to believe? Well, you just keep reading the Bible and you'll get the answer. You can go back to the Greek word if you want to and get it more quickly. because the Greek word simply means to rely upon, to trust in, to put one's confidence in, to totally rest upon, to unconditionally surrender to. It doesn't mean just head belief. Of course, head belief is involved. You would have to believe with your head. That's the reason I believe that people who are handicapped mentally would never be able to go to hell, because they don't have the mental ability to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they are taken care of by the precious blood of Christ. The same thing with babies and young children who have not believed on Christ, because they do not understand what believing on Christ is. But he that believeth on him, that's trusting him, relying upon him, taking him as your Savior, repenting of your sins. Yes, that's involved too. Yes, it is. He said, if you don't repent, you'll perish. And repentance is change of mind, but it's change of mind about God. It's change of mind about sin. It's not just changing your mind and decided you're going to go a new direction or you're going to turn over a new leaf. It's changing your mind about sin. It's realizing how holy God is and how terrible sin is. That's what repentance is. And it's involved here in believe on him. It's not condemned. But he that believeth not. Now, here's another fellow. Here's another situation. Here's another group of people. But he that believeth not, he that does not accept him, he that does not believe upon him, he that does not take him as Savior and Lord, he that does not rely fully upon him, he that does not trust his blood as an atonement for their sins, he that does not believe the Bible, he that does not believe the gospel, he that does not believe the preaching of the Word of God, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You're already condemned. You're not going to be condemned out there in the future somewhere. You are condemned right now. Right now you're condemned. You're condemned already. Now you say, well, why in the world are we condemned? And the answer is in the next part of that verse. Very plain, very clear. Because. When God says because, then you know God's got the reason. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the reason then a man is under the curse of God, a reason a man is condemned or cursed by God, I'll use that expression, he's condemned, is because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. He has not taken him. Now, you say, well, preacher, how do you get a curse out of that? How does salvation bring about a curse? Well, a man is cursed of God, condemned of God, when he knows and hears the message of salvation, and then he refuses to believe it. Now, that includes some of you who are listening to me right now. That includes some of you folks who've gone to church all your life, and you thought the church was going to save you. You thought because you were a good person, you was going to get saved, and you'd be saved, and you'd go to heaven when you die because you're such a good person and because you go to church. No, if you have refused to cast yourself completely upon Jesus Christ and trust him for your salvation, repenting of your sins, of course, and turning to Christ. If you have not done that, if Jesus Christ is not your personal Savior, if he is just your religious head, if he is just your church head, then you are not saved. He needs to become your Savior. And if you have not yet trusted him, you say, well, preacher, how do I do that? Well, just simply trust him. You say, well, that sounds so simple. Well, it isn't simple, because the devil doesn't want you to trust him. The devil wants you to trust in your religion. The devil wants you to trust in your baptism. The devil wants you to trust in your ritualism. The devil wants you to trust in your denomination. The devil wants you to trust in a good life and all other kind of things. But if you don't trust in Jesus as the only one that can save you, the Christ of salvation, the only one that can save you. If you do not trust in Him, if you do not put your full confidence and unconditionally surrender to Him, then you are under the curse of God. Not going to be, not out yonder in the future sometime, but you are under the curse of God. Now you think about that for just a little bit. Being under the curse of God. You say, well, God wouldn't curse anybody. God wouldn't condemn anybody. God's done it from the beginning of time, even before time. When Satan rebelled against God, Lucifer rebelled against God in heaven, he was brought under the condemnation of sin against a holy God. And if you have not trusted him, then you too are under that condemnation. And he says in verse 18, he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, you don't need any other reason. You're not condemned of God and cursed of God because you drink or smoke or gamble or lie or cheat, because you commit adultery, or because you do the things that the old natural body calls upon you to do and causes you to do. You were born with that, and you're not cursed of God for that. Now, it's wrong. It's sinful. You'll suffer for it some way along the line. All sin, particularly some sins, carry with it a tremendous aftermath. But at the same time, that is not the reason you're cursed of God. The reason you're cursed of God is because you've refused to surrender to Him, because you've decided I can do it myself, because you've decided, well, I don't need to go forward and bow on my knees and say, God, I'm a sinner, because I'm not so bad. That's the reason you're cursed. And it's not out yonder in the future. You're cursed right now. What a terrible shape to be in. Don't do that. Trust Him as your Savior right now and say, Lord, I can't save myself, and I know it, and I'll take You right now as my Savior and as my Lord, and I'll surrender myself to You completely. I'll give You everything. God will not take half of you. God will not take part of you. God will not take just your Sundays. God wants you, all of you, and He'll take you right now if you'll trust Him. So why not just bow your head, or even slip out of your chair on the knee where you can, or pull your car over to the side of the road and say, Lord, I'm nothing but an old cursed sinner, condemned by God, and I don't want that. I want Jesus as my Savior, and I'll trust Him now.